Okay, let's be real. Do you know how much Jesus loves you?
You are being real with Owen Barley.
He's got more for you.
9:30 a.m. exclusively on Impact 103.
How's it? Good morning. I'm Owen Farley and you're listening to Impact 103 on this beautiful, beautiful Monday. I am so happy to be with you. It's time for us to be real again, to challenge the way that we think and be transformed into the very image and likeness, which is love. You know, the very likeness and image of Jesus, which is love. And this always excites me. Always, every single day, this seems to be my motivation for getting up. It's like, okay, God, I want to be more like you. I want to learn how to love. I want this. I want this. And today, God's kind of laid something really interesting on my heart. And it's this word, opportunity. And I know when we hear that word, I mean, specifically where I grew up, it was kind of like, yeah, opportunity, kind of like rubbing my hands together, like saying, okay, let's go. Let's go, because we define opportunity as a time or a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something. And that just makes everybody excited. You know, it's like, okay, we want to get things done. We have these desires and intentions of our heart that we just really want to achieve. You know, we want to achieve what God wants for us. But the thing is, are we willing to really do it God's way? And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how to define opportunity God's way. And I'm just going to be speaking from my personal experience, testifying on times where God's really kind of humbled me, shown me different things, taken me through the process. And hopefully this would really encourage you along your journey as well. Because we know that in Romans 8:28, it says, we are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and His purpose. So welcome to the show and let's get it rolling. I must admit, I grew up very ambitious. I grew up like just wanting to achieve so much. And I know that God placed this inside of me because there's a lot to do for the kingdom. There is, but, and a big but, this needs to be refined through the fire of God, through the refining fire of the Holy Spirit. Because for me, just taking a look at where I grew up, whenever I heard opportunity, I defined it as my opportunity, like everything is going right for, like now's the time, now's the moment for me to pounce, you know, and everything had to like work right. Everything had to go according to plan. And then it was like, okay, now let's move. But if you take a look in the Word of God, God's opportunities actually come where everything seems to be going wrong. And I think God really loves it when this happens because He wants us to understand that it's Him that we need to trust. It's Him that we need to lean on and rely on when we go through trials and tribulations. And that means when we go through those trials and tribulations, so important for us to change our mindset on that and say, okay, wait, I'm going through this, but this is God's opportunity. This is an opportunity for me to change and become changed into the image and likeness of Jesus. So if Jesus is looking forward to this opportunity because He can show Himself real and show Himself to be true and show Himself to be a great and mighty God, then why shouldn't I be excited for this? You know, it's like such a mindset change. It's such a shift. And this is what we're talking about. And I read the scripture in Ephesians 5:14. It says, therefore, He says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you and give you light. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Now, in the way that I read that, it's like, okay, I heard this saying, and this is where I kind of get this mentality from. It's just a wise saying. It says, where preparation meets opportunity, that results in success. Now, when God says walk carefully, walk accurately, don't be unwise, it's kind of like he's saying, prepare yourself. Watch where you're taking those steps. Watch, because there's going to be a time where all of a sudden the opportunity is going to arise, the opportunity is going to come, and I need you to be ready. So, makes me excited. If we take a look at Ephesians 5:16, it says, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understand and firmly grasp what the Lord's will is for your life. Now, I don't know about you. That makes me excited that I know that God is going to do something really amazing. So here's a question for you, all right? A real question for us being real today. What defines what you see as an opportunity? What defines that? And I must admit, spending time with the Lord, God challenged me on this multiple occasions. He said, what defines what you see as an opportunity is really the motives and intents of your heart. And you have to take a look. You have to be introspective and you have to be real and say, okay, God, is what I'm thinking really according to your will? Is this your opportunity? Or is this just me trying to make something happen because I want this and I want it now? And yes, it's a very real question. And it's something that is supposed to challenge you. You know, motivation is defined as a reason or reasons for acting or behaving in a particular way. Now, if you take a look at those reasons that define your actions, Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. He weighs the thoughts and intents of the heart. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, so do not make any hasty or premature judgments before the time when the Lord comes again. For he will both bring to light the secret things that are now hidden in darkness and disclose and expose the secret aims, the motives and the purposes of the hearts. Then every man will receive his due commendation from God. So here's the thing. What's actually driving you, is it coming from God? Or do you need to sit down with God and say, Lord, I see this is actually coming from a place where this desire has not been refined. I don't see it the way that you see it. And I need to make sure that I'm spending time with you so that I can renew my mind, so that your presence can come and your fire can work through my mind and through my heart so that I can actually see it the way that you see it. You know, like a few years ago, when I just started in ministry, it was about 10 now, I had so much ambition. I mean, I had dreams and aspirations just like any other person. And I seemed to look at someone in my life or someone on social media or on TV, and I was like, that's what I want and I'm going to get it. And I started aiming at and planning my life around what I wanted to get. And even when I stepped into ministry, it was actually so funny how the Holy Spirit used this unclean ambition of like wanting to step into something and be the best at it. He actually took and exposed it, but then drew me into the kingdom. And he said, if you want to be good at something, be good at being a disciple, my disciple. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And so as I entered into ministry, I remember going through to a conference in LA called the Cry Hollywood, and it was all about dedicating the entertainment industry to God. And I was so in a place, just everything new. I was excited, and I went there. And all of a sudden, this opportunity was presented to me where I could go out with different people in the industry and just kind of talk shop, you know, like sit down, find out how they do things and just like connect. And as I went out to do it, I realized it felt so empty. I was like, God, why all of a sudden does it feel like you're not moving? Why don't I feel your spirit with excitement anymore. Like the whole time I've been excited because you're moving and you're doing things and you're showing me things. And now all of a sudden I'm in a position where it's not like that. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit showed me, he said, you didn't ask me if you should be here doing this connection. You just went about doing it because you want to be in the industry. Yo, I felt it. I'm telling you, I felt it in that moment because I could feel that the Holy Spirit wasn't in it. I wasn't moving by the Spirit. I was moving by the flesh. And the Bible does say whatever you feed, that's what you're going to produce. So if you feed the flesh, it's going to produce flesh. But if you act from the Spirit, it will produce spirit. And I realized I needed to wait. I needed to take a moment and actually say, Lord, which is the direction you want me to go in? Is this opportunity that has come, is it from you or is it a distraction? You see, opportunity can be a double-edged thing. It's like it can either be something from the Lord or it could be something that like is just the world or the enemy using an opportunity that seems amazing to bring you out of the will of God. And as soon as that happens, whoop, the Holy Spirit is quenched and he stops moving. And you feel like, oh, but Lord, why? Why does it feel like? And it's not that he's left you. It's actually just the fact that you stepped out of his place of love. The Bible says, remain in my love, abide in my love. And you chose to step out. And I remember when that moment happens, you can feel it. You can feel it. You can feel it in your relationship with God. You can feel that there's this quenching of the Spirit. You can feel it. And so that's why today I really want to encourage you to stop, to take a look at what is actually driving your motives and your intentions. What's driving you making those decisions to actually say, I'm going to take this opportunity. Is it from the Lord? We've got some of our listeners just messaging through. We have Elvis saying, good morning, Owen. Thanks for the program. Not a verse, but just a word to encourage someone this morning. Many times we limit God by what we see and what we want to be, forgetting what God has in store for us. He is too big to be limited by that. And that is so true. Thank you so much, Elvis. So true. We do limit God. And that reminded me actually of a scripture in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 that says, but on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has seen, what ear has heard, and what has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him, and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. No eye has seen, guys, that God has so much more for us than we actually realize. So much more. And then we also have Sandra saying, oh, Owen, I am definitely rebooting at the moment. And she said, Matthew 6 verse 33, for challenge for change, which is seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So thank you so much for sending those through. We definitely have some suggestions. If a scripture has stood out to you, please let us know on our WhatsApp line and keep that coming in. You know, speaking about opportunity, I must admit, when taking a look at our own motivations, whether it be ambition, whether it be an unpurified desire, I kind of start thinking, okay, Lord, I need a change. But what? So what's your motivation? Jesus, what motivated you to come and do what you needed to do? And he only had one. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It was love. It was love that motivated God. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2, let everything you do be done in love, true love to God and man as inspired by God's love for us. James 4 verse 2, now this one's fire, it's challenging. You do not have because you do not ask, okay? So we have these things that we want to achieve, okay? They're good things. Sometimes they're good. They've been given to us by the Lord. But have we refined them and said, Lord, show me how you want me to see this? For example, taking and saying, oh, Lord, I really want someone in my life. That's great. and it's most likely something that God's placed there for you. But has that been purified? Are you seeing that relationship the way that God wants to see it? Are you actually saying, okay, Lord, teach me how you see a man in my life. Teach me how you see a woman in my life. Show me what the purpose behind that is. Okay, so back to James 4. It says, James 4:3, or do you ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives? Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasure. Ooh, that is good. That is straight. I mean, sometimes love is straight. Sometimes love just shoots right through it. Because this is the thing, is that love endures everything. Everything that comes to us and that we face, every trial, tribulation, anything, God exposes it. And he says, love will overcome this, but I need you to see it my way. And in order to do that, I need to expose what you're thinking right now so that you can change it. So let's change it, guys. Let's ask God and say, God, is this thing that I'm asking of you, have I really purified this? Or am I just asking it because I want it to fulfill a sensual pleasure? And this is being real. This is really, really being real. So let us know. You know, what you're going through on what you're trusting God for. If there's a scripture that's really stood out for you, let's stand in faith so we can change. Change the way that we think. Like the Bible says in Romans 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That reminds me of this great man in the Bible. His name is Moses, and he really went through it. I mean, God took him into 40 days. I mean, not 40 days, 40 years in the desert. After he, like it says in Hebrews, that it had entered into Moses's heart that he was the deliverer of Israel. And then what did he do? He tried to do it in his own strength, and he tried to deliver Israel, and there was an Egyptian fighting with a Hebrew, and he just decided, I'm going to start making this happen. And straight away, he murdered one of the Egyptians. And what happened? He was chased into the wilderness by Pharaoh for 40 years. And right there, this just really shows me that, I mean, I was reading this in the Bible, and one of the footnotes just really struck me. It says, one blow struck when God's time is fulfilled is worth 1,000 struck in premature eagerness. Now, that's powerful. That is so powerful. I mean, Moses tried to get it done himself, and even the Israelites said, who are you? You know, like, you're a prince of Egypt, and yet you think you're going to be ruler over us. All of a sudden, the time wasn't right. So God sent him into the wilderness, refined him, purified that desire, purified his ambition, until he understood he needed to do it for the kingdom, not for his own self, but so that God may be exalted in the eyes of the Egyptians and the Israelites, to know who God is. And this is so powerful, because in Proverbs 19 verse 2, it says, desire without knowledge is not good, and to be overly hasty is to sin, ooh, and miss the mark. I'm going to read that again. Proverbs 19 2, desire without knowledge is not good, and to be over hasty is to sin and miss the mark. So what do we need to do? Wait on God's timing. Wait. And I'm telling you, this this word challenges, I think, everyone that I've met. As soon as you say, wait on the Lord, it's like this impatience rises up. They're like, but we just wanted to get it done. Like, Lord, when? How, God? And all these questions start popping up. But God says to us to wait. And that's exactly what we're going to do here on Being Real. We are going to decide to say, God, we will submit to you, as it says in James 4, verse 7. Be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Come on, guys. It's possible. All things are possible for him who believes. So let's make a stand, because when you decide to resist, you become dangerous. I have to say this just from experience that I've had. There have been moments where I've been confused. Is this opportunity from the Lord or is it not? And then I get like in this double-minded place where I'm like, okay, wait, what is God really saying? I don't know what's happening. And then I'm reminded by the Holy Spirit, what did God say up until this point? And I think that's so vital for us. It's like, just stop and say, wait, God, what have you said up until this point? I'm just going to keep on following that until you change that, until you tell me something different. Don't get confused. Allow the Holy Spirit just to lead you in what God is saying. And this is the last scripture that I'm going to give for today. And please, whatever scripture that you are really feeling, send it through. We've got a few. Matthew 6:33, that says, seek first the kingdom of God. We have the other one in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined the plans that God has for those who love him. But then there's also this one. And it's something that is so powerful for me on waiting on the Lord. It says, Jeremiah 6:16, stand by the roads and look and ask for the eternal paths where the good old way is. Then walk in it. Oh, and you will find rest for your souls. That's what we decide we're going to do. That is what we decide we're going to do. So it has been amazing to be with you. If you are joining us for Challenge of Change, please, please write those scriptures down. Just a quick reminder what they are. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, Romans 10 verse 11, 1 Corinthians 7:37, and today's one, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. Let's commit them to memory so that we can actually stand up against the enemy when he tries to come up against us. I just want to remind you, please stay real in your relationship with the Lord. I'm Owen Farley, and remember this most of all, that Jesus really does love you.